drive courtesy of our friends at Madhouse Farms, locally grown products in Montana agriculture. You can feel good about two convenient locations, one over in the Y and one down in Lolo. Thursday edition of the Daily Drive. Again, we have, I think we fixed our podcast issues. The podcasts are now uploading and should be available wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple, of course, the KGRZ mobile app. So we've got our first three episodes this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a couple of Daily Drivagories, and our conversation with Colson Randall as well. Today, we now shift gears and talk a little Grizzly football. Of course, mid-July right now, we're, about a month and a half away from the season beginning. For the guys, though, it's just, I suppose they're working through the summer, but a couple weeks out from August camp, we're now joined by Grizzly linebacker and preseason All-American Peyton Wing joins us for the first time on the Daily Drive. Peyton, what's going on, man?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on.
How's the summer treating you?
Oh, it's been great. Weather's been beautiful. Everything, all the above, has been amazing. I'm just enjoying it.
Any travel for you? You got any big trips you had this summer?
Nope. I've been in town the whole time. Had to sneak back home really quick for 2 days and for a little family thing. But other than that, I've been here, and then I just have the Big Sky kickoff in next weekend. So that's about it. That's what my summer's been. It's just been in Missoula. It's been awesome.
That's the way to do it, man. And when did you get here last year? Was it still early in summer? Did you experience Missoula summer last year?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, see, I got here in June. So I got here June 1st, and last year.
How many times have you floated the river since you moved here?
I think I've floated about like 12 times, 15. Maybe I'll cap it at 15. Like, my parents, they love it. So we've done it twice this year. And then last year, I think we did it once or twice together too. And then with my buddies, we'll float it during the day when it's hot, you know. Get out as much as we can, enjoy it, and then we do it as a whole team too. So there's another one to the list.
I gotta take a page out of the Peyton Wing book. I think I've floated twice now in the last two summers. I don't know what happens. It gets busy, and all of a sudden I don't do it. I gotta take a page from your book, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting close to being able to guide, so a couple more trips and I'll have that guide license.
There you go. I like that. River guide / Grizz linebacker Peyton Wing joining us here on the Daily Drive. Today's program, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Campbell Kia of Missoula, new and pre-owned vehicles. Great service and a no-pressure buying experience, located off of Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Hey, congratulations on the preseason All-American nod from Stats Perform. What does it mean to you? You know, I know it's preseason, and I'm sure you like the accolades at the end of the year a lot more. But when you hear your preseason All-American, what does that mean to you?
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Getting the preseason award is a huge honor, no doubt. But like you just said, I think it's what's the most important thing is getting the honors after the season, and honestly winning a ring and celebrating with my team. So I think that's one of the biggest things, and that's our biggest goal. If we win, all the other accolades will follow, but that's not where my mind's at. You know, we have goals for our team, where we want to be. And after coming up a little bit short last year, we have a bad taste in our mouth, and we're ready to get after it. So I'm really excited for this season, and I think the honors are awesome and amazing, but it's a team sport at the end of the day, and however far your team goes, everything else will follow. So we got some good things going for us, and I'm really excited for it.
You specifically, personally, and of course the team, I mean, had a great year last year in 2025, just the two losses. And of course, one of them being to the national champs. Well, I guess both of them to be in the national champs and whatnot, you know, second team All-American, and you had the honors last year. How did you evaluate year number one for yourself and maybe the team here in Missoula?
Yeah. So, I mean, whole new D staff, new scheme. So it was good watching my old stuff, and I watched a lot, just looking at what I did wrong, what I did right, and what I can carry on to the next season, really evaluating my weaknesses and trying to turn those into my strengths. But, there's a a good amount of film to watch and evaluate and get better from. So going into my last season, I'm just excited to let it all loose and have so much fun and soak it all up because this is my last year of college football. So I'm really excited and pumped up for it.
Grizzly linebacker and newly named River Guide, Peyton Wing here on the Daily Drive. Our Meet the Grizz segment, we're kicking that off again. We're still a month and a half away or so from football, but never too early to start meeting the guys and chat with them. So you're number one here in Missoula. You obviously have a new staff to learn from and to learn the system. And then you're number two, of course. You know, Coach Houck is out, goes to Illinois, brings a lot of his guys there, a new staff coming in this year, Coach Sanders and the gang, everybody from Eastern Washington and everyone else filling in. Yep. For you, has it been difficult to come in and learn a new system last year in 2025 and now learning, I'm assuming, at least a newish one here in 2026?
I mean, like, at my old school, I went through two different schemes. This school I've gone to two. This is my second one now. And it's just like how fast you can pick it up. Also, too, how fast can you build a relationship with the coaches, a genuine relationship to where you can rely on them and they know they can rely on you. So building that and having that during the spring ball was huge. So we could go through spring and fine tune everything. And then going into the summer, doing our workouts and little player ran practices. It's been huge. And we've been taking the right strides towards it. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Like our old defense, it was exciting. This is going to be a great defense too. And I'm happy to have Coach Yee, Coach Sanders, and the whole D staff. They're great coaches. They know what they're doing. They're leading us in the right direction. It's been amazing. It's been a pleasure to be able to play for them.
So four systems in 4 years. Is that correct, Peyton?
Yeah.
I know you said it just kind of, it's based off of how quickly you can pick up these systems, but is that frustrating for you as you're trying to settle in? I mean, is there a part of you that says, man, if I could actually just get a couple of years in this defense, maybe I take my game to an even higher level? Like, is that frustrating to think about?
I mean, it's something you can't really hang your hat on, you know? It's like this portal, like coaches go, players go, and there's a lot of things you can't control. So it's kind of just going with it and attacking it. Like, you can't hang your hat on the last season if something changes. You just got to move with it. It's kind of the way football is now. So coaches leave, which is fine, and players leave too, which it's the way it goes. So
last season, you just have
to be able to adapt. That's the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Last season, you're number one. You come up with four interceptions in your inaugural season with the Grizz. At Portland State, you didn't record one. Was there something last year that put you into that ball hawking position? Was it just a right place, right time scenario times four? I mean, what kind of led to that success with the four interceptions?
Yeah, the scheme too, like right place, right time for sure. And I guess last year I was able to catch it. Luckily, I don't know. I guess I didn't have butterfingers, so that was good.
What about in high school? I mean, were you, did you rack up the interceptions left and right, or was this truly like a new venture for you a year ago?
In high school, I had a couple picks.
Okay.
It was in there, but I just had to dig deep for it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was exciting to get those interceptions. Yeah, any takeaway is a big game changer for the defense and to get our offense back on the field. Our offense is freaking electric, so having those guys like Eli, Brooks, freaking Kaylee, all those guys are awesome. So getting them on the field as much as they can to do what they do best is one of our big goals for defense.
Grizzly linebacker Peyton Wing joining us here on the Daily Drive for our Meet the Grizz segment, preseason edition. What is the most exciting defensive play in football? Is it the interception? Are you riding a high off the INT? Is it a forced fumble, scoop and score? Is it a third down sack? I mean, what's the number one play that'll ignite you in the defense?
I mean, yeah, any takeaway is amazing. Getting the offense off on third down is huge too. Like last year, our defense, we would get those guys off quick, which was a little bit different, and it's amazing. I mean, getting the offense outside of the red zone and outside of field goal range is huge, huge for us. So just stopping the offense really. So it can come in a multiple ways. Sack. Yeah. TFLs, getting them in third and long, getting a pick, getting takeaways, punching the ball, gripping it loose. So multiple ways that are exciting to me and that are fun. So
yeah. I like it. Rapid fire. We're going to go back to last year again. What's the game that jumps out to you? What is the, you know, if somebody asks you years down the road, your first season in Missoula, first season with the Grizz, what's the game that's going to really jump out to you?
Yeah, I thought North Dakota was awesome. Yeah. It was week two and shoot. It was a battle. So they're a great team. They were a great team. They're going to be a great team this year. So hopefully we get another look at them too, and we get to the same thing. But that was probably one of the funnest games. I mean, early on in my career at Wild Grizz, just having the crowd too, it was just electric. It was awesome. So North Dakota probably.
Had an interception in that game, as you did the next week against Indiana State as well. I'm a little surprised you didn't say Sacramento State, Peyton, just because you had those three sacks and three TFLs. That one's got to stick out to you as one of your better performances individually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was a fun game for sure.
Friday night with all that the trash talking leading up to it. What was it like actually in the locker room where, you know, they're calling you pandas and everything? We documented that a million times, it felt like, back in October. But what was that like for you guys in the locker room?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it fazed any of the guys. Like we had our eyes set on the right thing, and we knew what we needed to do. All that other stuff is outside noise, and it doesn't really affect our team. I think we got a good level head on our whole team across the board. So that was kind of just additional noise, but we knew walking in there what we needed to do and how we needed to take care of business. So, yeah, walking out of there with a win was huge. It was fun, and, I mean, on the road, it's not easy to get a win on the road. So getting a win on and any away game is huge for us.
Yeah. Yeah. You had the pick against your former team in Portland State as well. I'm surprised maybe that didn't come out. Did that pick maybe mean a little extra just knowing that you were across the way just a couple years ago?
I think that whole game was really special to me too. Like that would probably be one of my next games I would mention. Some of my best friends over at Portland State. I mean, I went there as a freshman, didn't know anyone, and walked away with some of my best friends for life. So seeing those guys talking a little bit of crap to each other and smiling, you know, having fun and playing football. It was a blast.
What, all right, quick questions now. Best restaurant in Missoula. You've had, over a year now. What is your go-to restaurant here?
Yeah, my dad loves the Depot. Been to Lolo Steakhouse. Anywhere with steak, really.
Okay. All right. We got a steak guy over here. How often does your family get over to Missoula? Do they try and catch, you know, every home game or close to?
Oh yeah. My parents, they make the sacrifice to come to every single game. So they've done it since I was a freshman when I wasn't playing. They love it.
That's great.
It's a huge experience for them. So
that's awesome.
They've been at every single game.
They're in town this weekend too. What are the big plans with you and the folks?
Well, they got in last Saturday and they leave this Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
We floated the river. We went up to Flathead. I had practice and I had lifts in the morning. So they took off and went up, met some friends up in Glacier, did the whole Glacier experience, sent some pictures. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
And then now we're back in town. I'm just hanging out with them right now, just spending good time before we start hitting fall camp and getting to the thick of it.
Yeah. Grizzly linebacker Peyton Wing joining us here on the Daily Drive. The best player that you've ever played against, you know, some guy in the opposing offense, could have been high school, could have been your days at Portland State, could be at Montana. Who is just the most talented guy, could be at any position that you remember having a real scheme for, game plan for, and just maybe overall hard to bring down? Who was that guy?
Well, first one, when I was at Portland State my last year, we played Boise State and Ashton Gentry was there. I mean,
that's a pretty good league, one.
you don't need to say much. That's just the name right there. Ashton Gentry, I played when I was a redshirt sophomore at Oregon.
Okay.
And we played Bo Nix and Bucky Irvin. Damn. Like Montana, like every team we see is it's a great team. They're going to give us – it's their Super Bowl when they come to Wild Grizz. So we see the best of everyone. Like those are some big names in the NFL right now, but like week to week we see ballers. So everyone we play is legit. Big Sky is awesome.
Did you have a highlight in that Boise State game? Like if I go search Peyton Wing right now, do you have, you know, some, did you truck Ashton Gentry or something like that? Anything fun?
No, I got in on a tackle on him, but like, you could search that game up. It's probably nothing special.
Sure. What about the other side? Best player that's been on your side, you know, on the defense that you've had the honor to play with. Again, could be at any level. I know you're probably going to, you know, I don't want to isolate any of your teammates right now, but best player that you've played with.
Gosh, that's a good one. I know one of my really close buddies, Mike Montgomery, he plays at Memphis right now. He's just a great player, smart guy. I mean, I got buddies at Portland State too that I played with. It's just like all over the board, man, from front line to back end, like everyone that like I've played with some really talented guys that know what they're doing and know how to talk ball and play it. So it's been amazing learning from them, you know. Still not there, but I'm trying to get to what a lot of those guys showed me. It's been awesome.
That's great. Growing up, were you an NFL fan? Did you have a college football team? What was your fandom like growing up in Washington?
Yeah, so I'm from Washington, and being from Washington, my goal was to go play at UW, and that didn't happen, and I got lucky enough to play here at Montana. So Washington was my team growing up. My grandpa was a season ticket holder. My dad was a season ticket holder for a long time.
Nice.
We went to basketball games. We went to football games all the time. We actually went to the Grizz Montana versus UW game Montana won. Yeah, was something special.
Oh, that is awesome. So I'm assuming you were wearing purple, probably pulling for Washington that day, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
How about that? What a cool full circle moment to go to that game, and then you know, just a few years later, you're playing a Wild Grizz.
Yeah, it is pretty special. Like I tell my buddies about it too here, and then like my dad and I sometimes laugh about it too. Like, man, that's crazy. It's really cool to see the how it all panned out.
Final question for Grizz linebacker Peyton Wing, maybe the most important of them all here on Meet the Grizz on the Daily Drive. The long hair. When is the last time you got a haircut?
So last true official haircut was it was homecoming freshman year in high school.
High school.
Yeah. Last true official haircut, like legit haircut.
Now,
I mean, I've trimmed it and I've
I
haven't cut it.
Do you go for the long hair to try and like emulate a? I don't know, like an AJ Hawk like guy or like a Clay Matthews just trying to rock the lot. Like, is there branding behind it?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I mean, those guys are awesome. But no, in high school, I went to Sumner High School in Washington, and our head coach has long hair. He still does. And like when I was younger, coming in as a freshman, if you didn't have long hair, you didn't play football. And I just grew it out, and I got. It was a little battle with my parents. They're like, "What are you doing?" You know, we went back and forth a little bit, but I grew it out. I pulled the trigger, and I've had it ever since. And I mean, one day I will cut it, but for right now, I'm not going to.
Hey, you know what? It looks great. It works. I mean, you're getting all the All-American nods. You guys are winning. You can't touch the hair. You got to let it grow, man.
Yeah, it's easy for my mom to see me on the field, too. She just looks for the guy with long hair.
Yeah, good point. Very identifiable. Yeah, that helps out broadcasters, too. So, yeah, keep that up, too. Well, hey, Peyton.
I'll make it easy for you guys.
We appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes today. You know, have fun the rest of summer, and good luck with camp, and we can't wait for that week one showdown at Wild Grizz.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day.
Grizz linebacker Peyton Wing here on the Daily Drive. When we come back, we got Jackson Wagner in studio. We're doing sports cinema called The Damned United. Hold on, Peyton. You know what? Before I let you go, your favorite sports movie, do you have one?
Oh, shoot.
Every week, Jackson Wagner, he works over at UM. We do a sports movie review kind of discussion. So what's your favorite sports movie?
Gosh, that's a good one. Put me right on the spot.
You know what? You can think about it, too. You shoot me a text later, all right?
Yeah, I'll shoot you a text.
There you go. Right. Yeah, I like that. Shoot me a text later. We'll talk about it next segment on the Daily Drive. All right, there goes Peyton Wing. Sports Cinema, up next, we do The Damned United. We're doing a soccer movie. We're going from Peyton Wing in football to The Damned United in soccer, celebrating the last weekend of the World Cup. That's next on the Daily Drive.
Details.
Finding a clean.
Today's Daily Drive, courtesy of the Mo Club. Nothing pairs better with game day than the best burger in town, than a cold one on tap. You'll find both at the Mo Club. Sports Cinema. First off, I want to thank Peyton Wing for calling into the program. Jackson Wagner is here. Peyton, by the way, I asked him his favorite sports movie. Remember the Titans.
Nice. Something we've football already, player, yeah. That makes sense.
We did it last year, I believe. Pretty early last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
One of the first sports cinemas we've done. We're doing another football movie today.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Back-to-back soccer films.
It is the World Cup, after all.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling about Argentina and España?
Bad.
Oh.
I was really pulling for a France-England final.
So that would have been cooler.
Would have been cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't. I've always been a pro Ronaldo over Messi guy.
Interesting.
That take is really, it's a bad take now, and has been for the last 3 years. And I'm not as strong on it anymore.
Walked it back a bit.
I've always hated Argentina because of that. Like I was always like, well, sure, you know, Portugal's way better, and now I just don't really like this Argentina team, and they've already won it, so I didn't want to see them back. And,
yeah.
The Spain's a cool team. They've got some very fun players, but
like I know nothing on Spain.
Yeah, they're much more like they're just a better team, I think. But they don't have the cool names and the big talents.
Messi and Mbappe.
Lamine Yamal is one of the best, if not like the best player in the world already, and he's 19. But he doesn't have the same power. It seems as a Haaland or a Harry Kane. Even
Spain won in 2010.
Yeah, only time I think they've ever been to the final. Only win.
And Argentina's going for their third or fourth world title or World Cup win?
Yeah.
Three or four?
I think four. Back-to-back. Nobody's gone back-to-back since, I think, 58 and 62, so.
Was that Brazil?
Oh.
Was it?
This guy, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll give myself the clap there. Well, not the clap.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Applause, maybe. Just go with applause. That'd be better.
Just want to clarify. We just did a World Cup champions trivia.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's where I think I got that from. Anyways.
Yeah. Well done. I got kicked off of my trivia. So.
You did not get kicked off. All right. You want to open up? All right. Let's do this.
No.
Let's do this. Let's look
at
your track record.
I was very busy at work that day.
Over the last 3 weeks.
I said, let's reschedule. And you said, no, I'm bringing in Ethan. So
one.
I would have named more Pokemon than both of them combined.
One, you were late to hosting the Team Name Game Championship between me and Riley Corcoran.
True. That's partially your fault. I'm going to put partial blame on you.
Unbelievable. That is just not right. Two, you bailed on trivia Monday morning. And it was like within an hour or two, we said, hey, Jackson, you versus Henry. No, let me finish.
It was
you versus Henry. And then, I don't know, an hour later, you're like, boys, I got to bail. I got to play golf.
Yeah.
Care to comment?
That's exactly what happened.
And then
I said, hey, can we reschedule for tomorrow? Because I'm going to do this.
It.
Gave you a whole plan for sports cinema, how we're going to share a Blu-ray. Couldn't do it.
Monday night, Henry and I, we haven't seen
Monday
each other.
Night.
Grizz fan Henry and I, we haven't, I think it was Monday, maybe Tuesday night. We haven't seen each other since NAMM pretty much. We said, we got to go out and have a few beers. you were in, and then you weren't. Care to explain? You said, yeah, I'll be there. 9 o'clock, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. And then just poof, he's going home. Care to comment?
I'm
going to
blame that one on Taylor. I was on my way.
How noble.
Yeah. I have a lot of excuses. I have a lot of people I can throw under different various buses on random streets. So.
I feel like I'm missing in a missing one, too.
You are, but I'm not going to. Let's just move on.
It's the Odyssey. You were going to come with to see the Odyssey this weekend. And then you said, oh, by the way, I have a bachelor party to go to.
You said, would you want to? And it was like, maybe text me about it. And then you texted me and I said, sorry, I remembered later I had a bachelor party.
That's not how it went down at all.
That is. You saw me in the office. You brought it up. And I said, yeah, that sounds fun. Text me. And then I talked that night with my wife and realized.
Let me find this freaking text message. What was the other one?
You sent times and I said, sorry, I'm out of town. There was no in, get me a ticket, any of that.
Hold on.
The other one was last night.
Last night, I just didn't even bother texting you because I'm sick of rejection. Sick of rejection.
It's tough.
Sports cinema, we're doing the damned United.
Thanks for letting me pick one.
Whatever, man.
First time you've ever let me pick one.
What? That's just not true. I think the first 2 months that we did this last year, we just alternated.
That is true.
Alternated picks.
That is true.
The Damned United, 2009, directed by Tom Hooper.
Pretty shocking that it is.
I want to go back to Tom Hooper.
Yeah.
I'll just lay out the synopsis of The Damned United. They love me for what I'm not. They hate me for what I am. Taking over Leeds United, Brian Clough, spelled with a G-H, by the way. Brian Clough, his abrasive approach and his clear dislike of the players' dirty style of play makes it certain there is going to be friction. Glimpses of his earlier career help explain both his hostility to previous manager Don, it was Revy?
Revy.
Revy, yeah.
On Revy.
And how much he is missing right-hand man Peter Taylor. So it's about the real-life story of Brian Clough, who has taken a couple different Premier League teams up from the lower levels to stardom. He gets the job at Leeds United, doesn't go over well. He's got this disdain for the previous manager, Don Revy, and he has a little, I guess, come-to-Jesus moment towards the end of the movie. Directed by Tom Hooper.
Some absolute
stinkers. What an asinine filmography.
Some absolute stinkers.
So the Damned United... Les Mis, 2012. Yeah. Never saw it.
It's okay.
Okay. Take that. It's okay.
I like some of the songs. I don't love the movie.
The King's Speech, 2010.
Not great.
Okay. Never saw it. The Danish Girl. Don't even know what that is.
That's why can't I think of it? Eddie Redmayne. Plays a woman, I believe. I have not seen it, but it was
Eddie Redmayne a guy?
Nominated. Yeah. Oh. Eddie Redmayne is also...
Is he playing a transgender or is it just...
I believe so.
Okay.
I have not seen it, but it was... Okay. I think Eddie Redmayne was nominated for the performance.
And then the Piece de Resistance.
Yeah.
Cats.
He's a musical guy. Cats. Bad.
Wow.
I've never actually seen Cats, but I've seen some of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it all the way through. Yeah. I've seen some of the music.
Taylor Swift, is she in Cats?
Taylor Swift is in Cats.
And that
it's like it's a horrible cast.
It's enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all it takes for you, huh?
I don't even dislike her music that bad. I just don't think I like Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And we don't need you acting, you know?
That too.
Lady Gaga, great actress.
Sure. Absolutely.
Star is Born, fantastic.
Yeah.
But we don't need every.
I agree. Totally
musician
agree.
To be an actor as well.
Other musicians. JT, Justin Timberlake, he's been kind of fun in some stuff.
And he's good in Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Wow.
I know.
That's my favorite Coens.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Beyonce in Goldmember. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
The Social Network.
Yeah.
JT's
that's what I was thinking of.
Fantastic performance.
Yep. The Damned United, though, directed by Tom Hooper, who's just all over the board in his films, starring Michael Sheen, Timothy Spall, who about halfway through I was like, is that Pettigrew from Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Sure is.
He was on screen for a half a second, and I think his name is Peter in this movie, too, and they said something about, hey, Peter, and she said, he's Peter Pettigrew. He is.
That's good.
How could they name him Peter when he's Peter Pettigrew?
That's kind of funny.
Well, it's a real person, so.
Colm Meaney?
Yeah.
He is the former manager, Don Revy.
Yep. Great. He looks a lot like the real Don Revy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Great performance, too.
Stephen Graham is another guy that was in there. Stephen Graham is in those god-awful Pirates of the Caribbean movies, numbers 4 and 5. He's some character in there, and that's what I recognized him from.
Great Irish actor, though.
Stephen Graham.
Snatch.
Never seen Snatch. Nate Harris, though, one of his favorites. Wow. Fun fact, okay. Lady Goose head coach.
There you go.
You want to open up? Because I know this is your jam right here, pal. You open up with your general thoughts on the Damned United. Should we do this episode in an English accent?
It is. I keep like just saying some of the lines, and Taylor's like, you got to stop with
you
the accents.
Bloody wanker.
It is a fantastic accent movie.
I tell you. I also just watched Django Unchained, so I got a southern accent from those guys, too. Anyways, your general thoughts on the Damned United.
I was going to make another comment. But
I like
not.
White cake.
White cake. I love this movie. I think I've said it on this show before, but it's maybe my favorite sports movie. Revisiting it, I don't know if I'm still sold on that take, but I think that the thing about it that I like so much is it's much more of a character study on this guy than it is a sports movie, which I think is true of all of my favorites, that it's less about the results and less about, oh, is the team going to win the championship at the end? I feel like I'm less sold on those types of movies as opposed to like Bull Durham, where it's more about Crash and what his life is like in the last season of the minors and character studies that show growth or just interesting traits from these types of people inside of sports, who I feel as though you and I deal with a lot of these types of people with our jobs, and you see what sports do to people, and you can see what sports do and what the game of soccer does to Brian Clough. It is a wonderful look into a kind of broken psyche of a man who is arrogant, who is very talented, who has a lot of success, but does it in ways that you don't always approve of.
He can smirk with the best of them.
He's winking left and right. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's an alcoholic, but he is getting himself going for the games that matter the most and is not afraid to throw everything else to the side to drive across the country to try to pick up a player. I just think he is such a fascinating character, and the Michael Sheen performance is so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
And the way that Tom Hooper is able to capture the atmosphere of 1970s England. And
very blue, very gray.
Very blue, very gray.
I will say, actually,
smoky.
Just piggybacking off of that, it wasn't completely true, or it wasn't 100% one way or the other, but when they were showing him as manager of Leeds,
yeah,
a lot of the scenes were blue and gray and dark, misty. When you go back to when he was the manager of Derby, it was sunny, and there were these bright fluorescent lights in the locker room, and it was just
even the grounds are green, and they kind of have a glow.
Yep. So I thought that was a brilliant, cinematography move on their part. To show the differences of, maybe this is when he was happy and this is when he was not so happy.
And you see his family with him when he's at Derby County.
That's
and then
point.
At Leeds, there's several scenes where he's making phone calls or is just kind of drunk at his home, and it's a small apartment you hit it. It's so blue. It's some of the bluest. Kind of looks like he's underwater, and it's the screen of the TV glowing, and you see, Leeds in the background. It's really good.
I just saw a video. It was of Matt Damon and Tom Holland. They're doing a publicity thing for The Odyssey.
Yeah.
And they're doing a guess the movie by each scene, each shot. And you're supposed to just like look at the color palette pretty much of every shot. If you did this with the Damned United, I mean, if you've watched the Damned United, you could probably pick up and be like, okay, this like it's yellow here for a bit. It's really dark blue. It's really gray. It's yellow again here. Then it's blue and then it's gray. Yeah. It's like, I feel like those were the two. Or three, I guess. Blue, gray, and yellow. And that was it. That was what they used.
You can pick up on them,
I really liked it.
Okay.
It's not one of my favorite sports movies of all time.
That is fair.
I also don't have anything that I got done watching the movie. Now, I watched it this morning, which you brought up a point. You're like, I thought maybe if you were watching it this morning, still kind of waking up, rubbing your eyes, maybe it's not going to be as liked as maybe if you watched it at during the evening or something. But I didn't really dislike anything about the movie.
See, I did think this is kind of getting on a category, but I thought the believability of the soccer would really throw you off.
So I don't think there was enough soccer played for me to say that, which I do actually appreciate about a sports movie is when they don't show so much game. Because, you know, you're going to have to do something like Miracle, where it's just this epic 30-minute hockey game for me to go, yeah, I loved watching that sport in this movie. They didn't really lean into it, which I'm okay with. I think it was maybe a little silly when they when Leeds played Derby. He was still manager of Derby, and it's just that war scene. Dudes are going out left and right. There's a guy on a stretcher being carried off. I'm like, maybe
blood
that's
everywhere.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, well, it's kind of fun, but also I'm like, I don't know. Was it maybe it was really like that? I don't know. It seems a little hyperbolic, but
yeah, I do think that this movie does a very good job of tying real life footage and kind of vintage film into the actual movie. And they kind of lead with that I was going to also stepping on another category, but maybe my favorite montage is right at the top when they show Leeds United and how they are the power in England at the time. And it just is cutting left and right, and they're throwing punches and they're kicking people while they're down. And
see, I didn't even put a montage in there. Is that your favorite montage?
I think so. There are honestly several though.
Are there? Maybe I was just rubbing my eyes this morning and didn't pick up on them.
It's less Rocky montage of inspirational. Back and forth to them training and getting dramatically better. But there is at a couple times they show the league table and where the team that Clough is coaching is at, and then it rises up as it shows real
footage.
That
was one of my nitpicks. When they were rising as Derby,
none of the other team's point totals changed.
Bingo. Yeah. Derby was at like 37 points. The teams below them, as they were showing that graphic, were like 40, 42, 43. I'm like, wait a minute. How are they?
They're all standing
that's
still.
A nitpick that doesn't actually take away from the movie. I just kind of was like,
No, that's fair.
Yeah, I feel like my general thoughts, it's just, I liked it. Really liked it. I'm not sure if it was great, but there was nothing that I sat there and disliked. I just thought it was a good, solid showing. Like, they came in, they gave me 6 2/3 innings of one run ball with 6 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, quality start.
Nice.
Yeah.
We like those.
Yeah.
It is. I think that the fact that it's soccer.
Maybe that takes away
up
from
in my book too.
Right.
And maybe probably takes away in your book. And
probably a good point.
Yeah, I told you before recording, but this was as a longtime FIFA player, it was always the goal to start a career and bring a team up from the lower divisions. And then I watched this movie and it was like, oh my gosh, Brian Clough did this in real life. So it made it cooler to me.
Structurally, I really like how the movie went back and forth between his time at Leeds and his time at Derby, because I thought the relationship between his assistant, Peter Taylor, and Brian Clough, I thought they set up very well, because it's kind of early in the scene when he's at, or early in the movie when he's at Leeds, and someone brings up that, you know, Peter Taylor's not there anymore. Yeah. And there's no inkling that those two had a falling out, but they put that seed in your head early where it's, you're like, okay, something happened here. When's it coming? I thought it was a really good, like, slow burn up until the eventual collision between Brian and Peter. That was really good. That was brilliant in terms of structure.
Yeah. That is the book that this is based off, is also one of my favorite books too, which maybe is another reason why I like the movie.
Sure.
But it is this a similar structure of at
well,
least
interesting, in the book.
It kind of show I liked it a lot, because it's been several years since I've read it, but it's each chapter starts with like the league table and where they're at that day and where he's managing. And so it's kind of it gives you a little more context of, oh, like Derby County's in the second division and they're in 17th place, and they're, and then, you know, one chapter later, they're in 15th place, and it's less of the, whoa, they just climbed the table, but nobody else's point totals move, so you don't really understand how.
What are your other bullet points? What else did you want to tackle before we get into our superlatives?
You know, I think
our superlatives.
As you bring up Peter Taylor, I think that it's almost kind of a romantic movie with Brian and Peter.
Just
and
about every review was talking about that, too, on Letterboxd. Yeah, it totally was.
But it is fantastic, those two, and the way that they work together, and
The second most popular review is, this is a rom-com.
Yeah. Timothy Spall, right? That's the Peter's actor's name. Is I've really only seen him as Peter Pettigrew outside of this,
too.
But I thought he's fantastic as well.
Yep.
Just gives a completely contradictory performance to Michael Sheen's kind of bravado that works very well.
I had a couple lines, just kind of throw away, take this as you will. Ironic that we watched this right after England blew it yesterday, or at least I watched it right after England blew it. Very ironic.
Yeah, they showed, there's a clip of England blowing it, I think, in the 1970 World Cup in a
Pretty good timing on our part.
Yeah.
I want one of those Derby warm-ups with, there's a sheep on it. Thought that was the coolest shirt ever. I want that.
There is some cool, the costuming in this is also very good.
Is that product placement? I mean, maybe just all the Premier League, I guess, is product placement, but it didn't really feel gaudy to me.
Yeah, and it's what they actually wore, I think. So
yeah.
Yeah, the Leeds jackets with their names on the back, too, and the blue and yellow piping.
Moral of the story, grass isn't greener. I put that down.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, what else you got? Because then I can just jump into some superlatives here, because I had a decent amount of fair fouls.
That's kind of, I have more of those for this one than others, but I do think this does a really cool job. And the interview actually happened. They like recreate, it's a dramatic recreation essentially of real life interviews. So you can go and watch Don Revie and Brian Clough. But I think some of that, some of those scenes where they're in a TV studio giving these real life speeches, both actors nail and are just super interesting. And really like the framing of scenes in this, there's a lot of Brian is in 1/10 of the frame off to the left as he's talking, and he is the main character, but you see a screen in
Peter's
front
on,
that,
or not Peter,
that Don Revie's whole head is taking up. There's a lot of cool shots like that.
So that was going to be one of my points, or kind of piggybacking off that. Fair or foul to make Don a true villain in this movie? Like, in real life, was he... I know he said he was in some... The movie at the end said he was in some financial... promiscuity. I don't remember exactly what the line was, but I don't know.
Yeah, like, he went to Saudi Arabia because there were some issues, maybe.
Was he a bad guy in real life? Because they really made him out to be a bad dude.
That is, if you read about this and the book, Clough's family did not like it.
They didn't like the movie?
Yeah, they thought it painted him in a bad light.
Clough.
Brian Clough's family, which I would imagine Don Revie's family also.
Yeah.
And some people have said that it fictionalizes a few of those things. I do think it's interesting that Brian is kind of a hero, but seems like a pretty bad guy overall.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And Don Revie, I do think that is true of those Leeds teams. They were known as, you know, physical, they're going to foul you a bunch. They got into some disciplinary trouble. So
off of that, fair or foul, Brian Clough comes in when he's the manager at Leeds, and one of the things he says is that they haven't been loved, Leeds. Do you care about your team being loved? I would rather just win championships, and I don't really care if I'm liked or disliked.
Yeah. I might say that's fair. I think that the way that you play and the way that you win matters. And the way that Taylor kind of asked a similar question, because he accuses them of cheating a lot. She said, well, were they cheaters? I was like, I don't think they actually cheated, although maybe back in the day there were bribes going around and whatnot. But
yeah.
I think they were just super physical and played a style that was not very nice.
Yeah.
But I love that scene when he says, take all the trophies and all the medals and all the ribbons you've ever won and throw them in the bin because none of them were won fairly. Which, bold call on your first day at a new job to tell the players you're coaching that they've been cheaters their whole lives and nothing they've ever won matters.
Yeah. Fair or foul, telling your recently heart-attacked assistant coach that you're resigning for him.
That was foul. That's another great scene, though, when he gets worked up after it.
I was saying, I'm like, uh-oh, he's going to have another heart attack.
This is the big one. Oh,
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Fair or fouls, what do you got?
Smoking cigarettes as a professional soccer player.
Probably foul at this
probably
point.
Probably foul.
I did put in fair or foul, could we do a throwback night where managers smoke on the pitch and officials use literal paintbrushes to mark the line down for free kicks?
The penalty spot at one point goes out and they have to get a brush out there. That's great.
Cracked me up. What else?
I guess starting your first day telling your new players they cheated. We've kind of covered that.
That is ballsy.
I had one that then I answered by watching the special features, but not going out onto the pitch as the manager of your club during a big match.
I'm pretty sure I wrote that down somewhere, although I can't find it right now.
So there's a Leeds versus Derby County when he's still at Derby County.
I said, did Clough not manage that game? What happened there?
Yeah. There is a deleted scene where he goes out for the first half and they fall behind 1-0, and then he comes into the halftime locker room with a bottle of liquor of some kind and says, congrats, fellas, you got me sacked. You've done the job. Well, you can celebrate now.
I feel like you should have kept that in the movie.
I know. It was a I watched it and was like, this is a fantastic scene. So he pours a drink for everybody and says, you can't go back onto the pitch till the bottle's finished, puts it in the middle of the room and walks out.
Why did they take that out?
It's great. Yeah, I don't know. It's a quick movie, too. It's only 90 minutes, basically.
I was confused why he was back there. Because I don't think it showed the start of the game.
No.
I think it was
It's like we're playing Leeds today, and then it cuts to him.
Damn, we could have used that.
Yeah.
And this was a tight 90. We could have used an extra 5 minutes to get to 95 minutes.
The boardroom scenes, though, when he's sitting not watching the match, and you can just see the silhouettes in the window behind him going crazy at the home grounds is a cool scene.
Yeah.
I really like the look of it.
What's your favorite British slang? This is not really a normal superlative we do.
Wow.
I wrote down just some ones for you. Wank, of course. They use wanker a lot.
Yep.
Lads. I like calling the guys the lads.
Yeah.
Buggers. Bloody. You know, bloody hell. They say that a lot.
Yeah.
Calling somebody love.
Yeah.
Or cheeky. Those are the six I came up with. And then, you know, there's a C word that I'm not going to say. But
yeah.
I don't think they actually say that in the damn United.
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
I think lads. Lads is a very good.
That's what I was going to.
Come on, you lads.
I think in terms of insult, I like wanker.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a British version of the FCC that's listening into this?
I wonder if I can say wanker on the radio. I don't know. I did it, so. best quote? I liked when he showed up to the old players' door, and Jehovah's Witness, Dave, may the Lord be with you. As someone that has family that's a Jehovah's Witness, like I laughed my...
Yeah.
Yeah. I laughed my ass off at that.
It's good. Same thing when they're talking about hiring him and they say, Dave, we got to get Dave McKay. And he goes, Dave McKay, he's 150.
That was good. I like when they were saying it was Messrs. Germel and Hennessy. Like, Messrs. Germel and Hennessy. And the three guys run by. Hello. Yeah. That was good. Hello.
And again later when he signs two more different players the chairman's mad at him and they do the same.
Hello.
Hello.
I
liked somebody says, I think you're the best young manager in this country. And he says, thank you. I think I'm the best old one too. It's good.
Yep.
And he also says, I wouldn't say I'm the best manager in the country, but I am in the top one.
Uh-huh. That was good too.
He's a bit cocky, that little bit. Brian Clough.
I'm not sure if he has the best nicknames. He called one of the Leeds players Norman Bite Your Legs Hunter.
Yeah.
You could come up with something more clever.
Be a little more clever.
Yeah. That was kind of it, what I did for our superlatives.
I got one last quote for you.
Yeah, please.
Which this also, one of my friends, Nanaconda, is a big fan of this movie. And he would, if he got mad at you, he would kind of say some of these lines. But when he's arguing, he says, you're half a nothing. Nothing's parasite, a big fat pilot fish that feeds on nothing. History's effing afterthought.
That is good.
I had a friend who sometimes when you get mad would be like, you're just history's afterthought, man.
Stats?
I didn't really keep any stats.
Me neither.
Yeah.
That's too tough. I don't want to keep any more stats. Should we get rid of stats corner?
Get rid of stats corner.
Yeah.
Only when necessary.
Sure,
sometimes I do like to pull one, but.
MVP of the movie?
I think it's Michael Sheen.
Yep.
It kind of centers around him.
Yep.
I think if you watch the real life Brian Clough and then you watch his performance, it's kind of eerie how similar they are, even in looks.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is able to get across this character who is so fascinating to me in a very good way. So
I agree. I also win Michael Sheen. What'd you grade it?
I give it 5 stars.
Out of 5. Yep. Yep.
I just, I love this movie.
I went 3.5. 3.5 bordering on 4 in the very good to great range.
Very good to great. We take that.
Yep.
It is it's not like many other sports movies.
I'd agree. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm.
It feels more of a drama movie than it does a sports movie at many times between his relationship with Peter and his relationship with the media and his relationship with Longson, that's another fantastic...
Longson's the chairman?
Uncle Sam, the chairman.
Yeah, that's good, calling him Uncle Sam.
Great, calling him Uncle Sam. And Jim Broadbent is just like one of the great British actors. Very good old man, so...
Yeah. No, I liked it. This was a good suggestion. We needed something that I firmly liked. Been watching a lot of bad movies this year in sports cinema, or at least more than we're accustomed to.
Yeah.
So, good recommendation on you.
Thanks, pal.
Well done. Well done.
World Cup time. Who you got in the final?
Spain.
Same.
I think it's just because they haven't won since 2010. So
do you know
I'm just
their nickname?
Rojo.
Oh.
Royo.
I think it's Roja.
Roja. Rojo? Yeah. Drink up, me hearties. Rojo! Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Ace. Good to see you, pal.
Tomorrow, what do we got on tomorrow? Mitch Roberts. We got Mitch Roberts on tomorrow, former Grizz wide receiver. And we might have a daily drive of yours. TBD. We'll chat then. Bye-bye.